Today's daf in Besechet Sota is daf Chof Tet. And we had gotten up to, right? Yeah, but we did quite a bit on it. We got up to Rabbi Yishmael, yeah. Yeah, so we're one-fourth of the way down, yeah. Okay, so if you recall, yesterday we went through the difference of the psukim in Parshat Sota, if you are Dorish Vav and if you're not Dorish Vav. So we had Rabbi Akiva, who was Dorish, the extra Vav of Uva Uhamayim, and that gave him six psukim, which was the marker of the similarity of Baal and Boel throughout the sugya. According to Rabbi Yishmael, we needed to bring proof from elsewhere about the Boel. Then we got to the difference in how to learn the three occurrences of Nitma'a, which according to Rabbi Akiva became four occurrences of Nitma'a because of the extra vav in one of them. And it turned out that there was no practical machlokas between him and Rabbi Yishmael, who was not Dorish the extra vav. The only difference was that according to Rabbi Akiva, we had two separate psukim. One that told us that she's Asura to Kahuna, and one that told us that she's Asura for Truma. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael said, you don't need a Pasuk to tell me that she's Asura to the Kahuna, because it's a Kal Vachomer. Once you know that she is Pasul for Truma, then you make a simple Kal Vachomer. Any Grusha, who is by definition Psula le Kahuna, nonetheless, it says in the Torah that if she has no children, she goes back to the truma of Beit Aviyah and she eats truma. So you see that a woman who is psula to marry into the kahuna, as long as she's a bat kohen, she continues to eat truma. There you go. Now, the obvious question...
Have you done that?
Were you asking, what is that? The obvious question. You missed him yesterday. That's your... Yeah, you missed the entire drama also. So the question now, of course, is quite obvious. If Rabbi Yishmael has only three psukim, how does he use a pasuk to tell me the bigger chiddush, which is the psul from Truma, and then make a Kal Vachomer to say it? And so obviously, she's Psula to the Kahuna. Maybe that's all she's puzzled for. Use the Pasuk to tell you a lesser Kiddush. You're never allowed to take to jump ahead. You've got only 3 seconds. So one Pasuk, that last Pasuk, comes to tell me she's puzzled for the Kahuna, like a Grusha. Fine. But where does it say anywhere that she's puzzled on eating Truma? Asks the Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael, how does he have a right to say that Itzrich Kola Truma, which of course is the bigger Kiddush, and therefore becomes obvious that she's Pasul Lakuna, so I can learn out of a Kal Vachomer, maybe the Pasuk itself is coming to address Kahuna. And indeed, when it comes to Truma Sharia, she would be Mutarat. So Dilmak Itzrich Kola is only to tell me the lesser Kiddush. She's not allowed to marry a Kohen after this husband dies. I mean, obviously, if this husband would divorce her, of course she can't marry a Kohen. But if this husband dies, now one is only Asura on a Kohen Gadol, so fine, so she can marry a Kohen. Comes along the third, say, nope, she can never marry a Kohen. But can she eat Truma? You don't have a Pasuk. So maybe Truma is Sharia. Taina's Rabbi Yishmael, you'd be absolutely right, except for the fact that these three occurrences of Nitma'a appear in one sugya, and therefore it's only logical that they would function in an identical fashion. So how did we learn the first two? We learned the first two to tell me that the Venitma is a halacha both on the Baal and on the Boel, right? And that there's the din of the bedika. Okay, so now if that's the case, if the first ones are talking about the people, the Baal and the Boel, and that, by definition, one asers the Baal b'chaim, one asers the Baal b'chaim. Now you're going to tell me the third asers a Kohen. When? not during the lifetime of anybody that's involved up till now, because if he divorced her, then in any way she'd be Asur. It could only be talking about that after he dies, she's Asur Lakoy, but that's a complete departure. I mean, Venitma in context means, okay, right now, what's the halacha? What is the impact of the fact that she has now become a sota? Asur to the husband, asur to the boel, and asur to the Kohen? When? When he dies? No. The only thing that makes sense, and asur b'truma, because that happens today. Therefore, I now can learn out the Kal V'Chomer. And of course, if the Baal at some point dies, then she's not allowed to marry the Kohen. Good. So now everything makes sense. You think a guy that looks like a motorcycle gang member, you'd think that he would run around maybe with his shirt tucked in. But no, it's a combination. It's the tzitzis flying in the motorcycle jacket, and it's very contemporary.
It's a look.
Yeah, it's definitely a look.
Not everybody can pull it off.
So the Baal and the Boel are Mechaim, Av Truman Ami Mechaim. Mashenker, we're going to talk about the Kuna. Kuna is only Shaykh Lachar Mita, after he would die, and therefore it's not consistent. So why indeed does Rabbi Akiva require four separate psukim utilizing the extra vav to tell me something that would follow logically with only darshing three of the psukim, as Rabbi Shmuel points out? Well, there's two possibilities. Maybe he's not particularly persuaded about the fact that each one of these psukim has to be part of the same set just because it appears in the same psukim. What's so terrible about saying that they're not exactly the same? One is talking about Baal Mechaim, one is talking about Boel Mechaim, one is talking about Truma Mechaim, and one is talking about Kuna Lachar Misa. I mean, I don't see why I would be forced to say it's talking about Truma Mechaim if I only had three. So that's one approach. I mean, he doesn't know that this analysis of Baal Boel has been doing me lately. And you know what? What's the big problem? Let's say he holds, you know, Rabbi Shmuel, good point. But so what? We know that we have a klal, inami itle, even if he does agree with Rabbi Shmuel's logic, we often have occasion to where the Torah, it tells us something, and we have a kasha, wouldn't we have known that from a Kal V'Chomer? And we say, listen, the fact that we know something from a Kal V'Chomer does not prevent the Torah from teaching it to us, because there's a different sense of kesher directly to the ksiva of the Torah, as opposed to something which is derived from our das, which is essentially divrei sofrim, diraita, but coming from the insights of the sofrim. Omrif Gidol Amarav. Getting back to the limud that we had yesterday from Sota, there was a very important limud, nogea kol haTorah kula, that any suffik tuma b'rishut harabim, which is similar to Sota, and in what way similar to Sota? That nobody else is there except the two that are involved, the Tame, the thing that's Tame and the thing that might have become Tame, which is the parallel to the lover and the woman, and the fact that the people involved with the Sota have intelligence and can be asked, did you do something that would have answered her, right? Okay, that's called Dover Sheyesh Bo Dat Lishael. So we know that if, we said before, we know from Sota that if we're talking about a Dover Sheyesh Bo Dat Lishael, so we have a person who was perhaps came into contact with a Sheretz or did not, and we ask him, did you touch it or not? Okay, so if we have a suffix, that in that case, if it's Bereshut HaRabim, then it's not similar to the sota, and over there it's tahor, and vice versa, it's tameh. Comes along Rav Gidol Amarav, and he says, actually, Rav says that a dover sheyesh bo dat lishael, and the difference between it and an ein bo dat lishael, and that there's an afkamina lagabi sofek tuma, is not learned directly from sota the way you said it. We need the following pasuk. Mihaikro nafka. It says benogea the basar of kodesh of shlomim. So it says over there habasar asher yiga bechol tamei lo yeachel. Any meat that has touched something tamei cannot be eaten. Now, that is telling you straight out. You have to know that it was Nogea B'chol Tamei. I mean, otherwise, it's got a Cheskes Taira. Why wouldn't you be able to eat it? So it's saying, where it did indeed touch, Asher Yiga. So the burden of proof that it was Asher Yiga is up to you to define it as Asher. Okay, so only if it's Vadai Tamei, Lo Yechel. Who the Lo Yechel? If it was a Suffolk Tamei, Suffolk Tahar, then it's got a Cheskes Taira and you can eat it. Yechel. The problem is that the very same pasuk continues to say that v'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. If it's talking about the basar is an object of somebody who may himself be tahor or tameh, you got to make sure that the person who eats it is tahor. Uh-oh. That means that the burden of proof is only if you know that he's tahar, then he can eat, which means vadai tahar, hu d'yochal basar. But if it would be safek tamei, safek tahar, he cannot eat the basar. Now, it's obvious that the focus on one, where we're talking about a basar, shiyigah b'chol tamei, is the focus on the meat. And the focus in the other is the question of the Adam who's about to eat this meat. And he has to be Vadai Tahar, we said. So, must be that the difference is that Elalav Shmamina Kan Shiyeshbo Dat Lishael, the Kan Shainbo Dat Lishael. It must be Abosar Hasher Yigat. That's a Dover Shainbo Dat Lishael. So over there, we say, okay, so then if it's a suffix, you're whatever, you're, the din is by a suffix. So the suffix is tahar. But where it says kol tahar, it's referring to the person. So then yesh bo dat lishael. In which case, even if it's mitzad ha-safek, it would be vadai tamei, and it would be aser, and we wouldn't be samech on the chazaka. So that shows you the difference between a yesh bo dat lishael ve'in bo dat lishael. Now the truth is that there is no machlokas here. Each limud is mashlim the other limud. We need sota and we need rav's limud from the pasuk of habasar. How is that? Because look, itzrich to rav gidol amar rav, itzrich lemigmar misota. Let's say we only would have had this din of rav that talks about the difference between basar and the person who's going to eat the basar. All right, now, does it say anything over there about Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim? Of course not. It just says, if it's a Suffolk Tumah. So I wouldn't have the slightest idea whether this halacha of Yesh Bo Dat Lishael or Ein Bo Dat Lishael is operative both in Rishut HaYachid and in Rishut HaRabim. I mean, from this pasuk, I would say, oh, you see, wherever Yesh Bo Dat Lishael, so then the halacha would be that a Suffolk Tumah is tar. What would that be? Savak Tumah would be Tameh. I don't know that that's referring to Dafka in a case where it's Rishut HaYachid. I would think, far more than I learned from Sota, doesn't matter how many people are there, it would always be Tameh unless you could prove it's Tar. That's all that it says here. I mean, where in the world would you come to say it makes a difference whether it's Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim? It's just as easy to say it makes a difference as to whether you're wearing a red shirt or you're wearing a green shirt. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing in the pasuk to indicate any differences. So obviously, I need to come on to Sota to provide that essential piece of information, that it's only where the suffix involves two people and only two people. If it's the third person there, then we consider that to be public. And public spaces, the whole halacha is not true. So, Imid, let's take a look at that inside. So, Imid, Rav, Avamina, Bein Bershut HaYachid, Bein Bershut HaRabim. Itzrich Lemigmar Misota. So, I need to now know that the. No. It has to be similar to Hinitma or Hinlo Nitma. On the other hand, if we would learn that from a Sota, it's true that the case of the Sota is a case where there's Yeshbo Dat Lishael. Problem is, when it comes to the Sota, there's two dat lishael that's involved. So to speak, the sheretz, who is the lover, can be asked.
You insect, you.
Did you or didn't you? I mean, you can't exactly ask a dead sheretz, did you touch that person or did you not, right? So I would say, okay, so I mean, I can only have a din of suffix tuma where you have a person who's holding a sheretz, and the object that he would be possibly metame would also be a person who could be asked, did you notice whether he touched you? That's what I've learned from Sota. I would never have known that you only need to have a dat lishel about the case. And therefore, I can learn it out only. Where do I have that? I would need to know that the one who touched and the one who was touched. And there, both of them can be asked what happened. Comes along this pasuk to actually distinguish between the basar, which does not have dat lishel, and the person who's going to eat the basar hashlamim, who does have dat lishel. And then it becomes very evident that I don't need both sides to have the dat lishel. So memela, each piece of the information here, of the picture that we have about the case of a suffix, and that is the sota and basar shlamim, is mashlim the halacha of the other one, and therefore tzricha now becomes much more clear. Now, Bo Bayom, continues the Mishnah. Darash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had another drasha. And his other drasha was that if the Torah says, V'kol kli cheres, asher yipol from this sheretz, l'tocho, yitma, kol asher betocho, yitma. It doesn't say tamei, it says yitma l'tamei acherim. And therefore we now know that a kikar sheni can actually be metame a shlishi. That's how he learns it. Okay, is that clear, the limud from there, right? The way that it works is that the sheretz falls into the avir klicheres. The avir klicheres is definitely not metame the klicheres by filling the space with sheretz. How do I know that? Because the din of kol asher betocho richidus is so beautiful. It would be such a shame to miss it. Now lift up that hat. Make it get, there we go. Our captain is right there. He can look, he can see, he can think, he can talk in Yeshbo Dat Lishael today. And therefore, we're in good shape. Yesterday, there was Ein Bo Dat Lishael by the Nitma. He just walked off with it. Nobody said anything.
He walked off with the chair?
Yeah, with the iPad, and it didn't say a thing. And so just, I'm just mentioning it so he should remember it would be kedai to remain awake. Okay, so there that Torah says like this, anything that is inside of that tanur, if it is a zera or a foodstuff, it continues on to say, right? Okay. Now, it has to be a foodstuff of some kind.
Foodstuff?
Yeah. Now, why does it have to be a food? How about if it was a kli? How about if it was a spoon? For some reason, we would not have said kol asher betocho, right? Okay. And that would be true even if it were in the airspace itself, and the airspace we know is metame. How do we know is metame? Because it says kol. Kol would mean, let's say you've got the entire thing filled with sesame seeds. Now, if the only way that Kli Cheres is being metame is by the touching, only the lower layer of sesame seeds and the things touching the sesame seeds would be tummy, right? But in this case, all of the sesame seeds are tummy.
What if the Enigma so came in it?
So now...
So
there we were with a spoon in a klicheres, and it's not going to become a tummy. Why would a spoon not become tummy from a klicheres if the entire klicheres was filled with the tumah of the sheretz? So what that is telling you is that we don't look at the airspace as being filled with the sheretz. All that we're saying is that the airspace is considered to be a continuation of the presence of the klicharis. That's all we're saying. And therefore, Tuma in that airspace touched the klicharis. That's all that we're saying. And something inside that klicharis touched the klicharis. In which case, if a sheretz is in a klicharis, then it's batami the klicharis to be a rishon the tuma, because the sheretz is an ava tuma, right, Rich?
It's touching the pot.
Either touched it or it's in the airspace, that's touching
it. There.
Same thing. And it's still in that klicharis. It wouldn't matter. Right. Because even if it's still in the klicharis, if something else falls into the klicharis, it's not in contact with the sheretz.
But it's in contact with the
air. It's in contact with the klicharis. But the klicharis is only a risha, which means kol asher betocho yitma means a sheni. So now I have one of those little pieces of bread in there. It's a sheni latuma, no matter where it is in that airspace. But that touches something else. What's the halacha? Says Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean? What's halacha? It says kol asher betocho yitma. It doesn't say yitame. It's yitma. Yitma means it can be metame something else. It's a transitive verb, which by definition means it can make a shlishi. To which Rabbi Yoshua responded, "That's brilliant. Mi yigale afar meinecha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you were so convinced that was no pasuk, she'en lo mikra min haTorah, there's no pasuk to tell me that there's such a thing as a shlishi, and comes along your Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Akiva, comes along your Talmud, and he shows there's a pasuk. And you made a whole big deal, since it's not a pasuk, the time will come when a generation will appear who will be so stupid that they'll think there's no such thing." And here comes on Rabbi Akiva and says, we didn't need his drush.
So what is a spoon not telling?
Because a spoon can only be mekabel tuma from an av, and it's a rishon. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nihyeh bidvaro.
Amen.
So, the question, of course, is, then what made Rabbi Yochanan so sure that the din is that there's such a thing as a shlishi? I mean, he says the time will come when they will say there isn't. Well, if you don't know the pasuk, how do you know that there is? So miachar de einlo, if einlo mikra min haTorah, so how do you know it's tame? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, no, all he said was that there's no pasuk in the Torah. That's all he said. Min haTorah einlo, but he taught a kal v'chomer which proves that yeshlo, and that indeed there is a halacha of shlishi that is at least it. Pasos Truma. How do we know that? Because here's this kal v'chomer. Consider a Tful Yom. Okay, now a Tful Yom has no impact on Chulin whatsoever. And there's a halacha. Remember, how do we know all of this? Because we just had it back in Yavamas. We know this from the fact that we find three different dinim of Tuma that have to do with the process of becoming tahor. So we have the actual going to a mikveh, and that is layer number one, which we call a tful yom. And then we have uba shemesh v'taher, and that's level two. And then we have cases where we need level three, which are cases of mechusar kippurim, uba yom hashmini, yavi, korban, whatever it is, and then you become tahor even for kodesh, right? What are the three levels? So we darshan from the pasuk that it's the moment that he goes into the mikveh. He is now v'tava v'ola, he's mutter on things like meiser, chulin, has no impact on them. For them, he's completely tahor. But he still is, as we learned in the first Mishnah in Brachot, he still is tamei for truma. That's now at sunset. And then he becomes mutter in truma. Now, what that means is that if you are a tful yom, despite the fact that you have no impact on chulin or meiser whatsoever, you still are not allowed to eat truma. Not only are you not allowed to eat truma, You also cannot touch Truma. How do I know? Because the din of Tvuyom also is said on the Kol Kli. Any Kli that has become itself Tameh and you put into the mikveh, Ubo HaShemesh V'Taher. Now, a Kli can't eat Truma. So what that means is that such a Kli, if Truma comes into contact with it, will become possible. And that puts the Kli and the Tvuyom, human, Kli Tvuyom, human Tvuyom, into the same category. Both of them will possible Truma by touching. So they got to stay away from the Truma until the night. Okay. So if a Tvuyom is Mutar B'Chulin, will possible Truma, a Kikar Sheni, we just learned out from the Pasuk, a Kikar Sheni is possible even Bechulin, because that you don't need Rabbi Akiva for. It says Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Forget about darshaning, the difference between Yitameh and Yitma. Forget about that. Does it say that anything in that Kli Cheres is Tameh? Yes. Fine. Is it Mechalek between Truma, Karchim, Chulin? No. It says it's Tameh. Pasuk wasn't talking about Truma or Chulin or Meiser. It was just saying in general. So then I know that that means that Kikar Sheni is across the board really Tame. And it can only be Tame as a Sheni. And it affects even Chulin. Well, for God's sake. So then Kol Sheke, that means it's worse than the Tvuyom. The Tvuyom doesn't have any impact vis-a-vis Chulin. So if the Tvuyom is not allowed to come into contact with Truma, and if he does, he'll parcel it, Vaharaya Kalin can be Tvuyom. So then Kol Shekein, the Kikar Sheni, is going to passel the Truma to make it a Shlishi. It is a Sheni and therefore can't come in touch with Truma. And if it does, that Truma becomes a Shlishi. Are you going to deny this?
Not I.
There you go. You wouldn't be one of those Dor Ha'ati that would deny such a thing, right?
Not I.
Uh-huh. So comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, but that is inherent in the Pasuk. I don't need a Kal V'Chomer. Because when the Pasuk said the Kli Sheni is Tameh, it didn't say it's just Tameh. It says it will be Mitameh. Other things to make them Tameh. So I know it right off the bat, okay? Now, is that a perfectly good proof? Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Couldn't you ask from the fact that a Tvuyom started off as an Av HaTuma? Now there may well be some element of Avhut Betuma that is distinct from the level of the power of that Tuma. In other words, to be an Av HaTuma may be a qualitative difference as well as a quantitative difference. Don't take for granted that just because an Av HaTuma is able to make a Rishon, whereas a Rishon can only make a Sheni, that is the only meaning to an Av HaTuma. Because remember, by definition, the concept of Av means that it is a primary source of Tuma. And that is inherently different from something that just got Tuma from something. And therefore, even though you're right that the Tvuyom is severely attenuated in terms of its quantitative ability to be an Av, but nonetheless, it is an Av. That's how it started off. I mean, now we've done things to it. We put it into a mikveh and so on. So we've made it less effective in transferring the Tuma. But as far as the quality of Tuma that's there, it's an Av HaTuma. Fine, says the Gemara, for heaven's sakes. And who's to say, it's so fine, we're not talking about Kalim that were an Avatuma. We're talking about over here, Tvuyom of Isheretz, okay? Tvuyom of Isheretz means that the Tvuyom itself was never an Avatuma. Okay? So that's what we'd be talking about. The Sheretz was capable of being Metame and Adam. And now, is he still a Tvuyom or not? Yes, absolutely. Was he ever an Av? No, he was never an Av. Thank you. So if a Tvuyom de Sheretz is nonetheless going to be Metame, he's usher in Truma, because it says only after he's Tevel and waits until the night, etc., etc., etc. Okay, fine, but I could still ask that the bottom line is that if you're transferring over here from the Sheretz, then the halacha would be, theoretically, that it would be possible for the thing that is getting this tumah to be metame, Adam, and Kalim, right? If you're talking about an Adam as a tvuyon, or a Kli as a tvuyon, those materials are capable of carrying a tumah of avatuma. You're right. Forget about the source of the tumah. There is also an entire concept of Masechet Kelim, correct, Rich?
Yeah.
So now, what is that concept of Masechet Kelim? You could say nothing. It's just sort of describing things that can be Mekabel Tuma. But that's not really true, because it's describing things that are capable of being themselves Av HaTuma. That's the point. So in other words, let's say that a Kli would come into contact with a body, then that Kli would be an Av HaTuma. An Adam who comes in contact with a dead body is an Av HaTuma. How about a kikar that comes into contact with a dead body? It's not an Av HaTuma. And why is that? Because Ochlim cannot carry that amount of tumah. They are simply not suitable containers for tumah. So forget about the source of the tumah. Fine, you've answered me. But you're not taking into consideration that over here we are utilizing a tumah carrier that is capable of much more effective transference of tumah by definition. So how can you bring a raya from something that is capable of maintaining the tumah of an av in it? Right now it isn't, but that isn't the point. It's a more effective carrier of tumah. Therefore, you're going to bring a raya from an adam, who's a tvuyom, who's an effective carrier, or a kli, which is a tvuyom, which is an effective carrier, to a kikar, which doesn't have the guts of being able to carry tumah no matter what you do to it. There is no way that a phone call could possibly be more exciting.
Yeah, it might be more exciting. Can we say the word conductor instead of carrier? That's also works. It's just the way to think about it.
Yeah, except conductor would mean that you have to be in touch with it at the same time. There's differences then. Than a metal is a better conductor because of the din of kolasha yigabato yotzara.
When you say kikai, you mean like a huge... huge space, like two.
A kikar means a piece of bread.
A piece of bread.
A lachmania. All that she would be carrying, Richie, would be a rolling pin. The question is whether a rolling pin would be makabel tumah as an av.
Depends on where it makes contact.
If a sword could be an av tumah.
Yeah, it depends. The old ones were made out of wood.
Yeah.
It's not so posh.
When were they made out of wood?
Rolling pins?
When were you born?
Rolling pins were always made out of wood. What are they made out of now?
Stainless steel.
Really?
Of course, the women want blood now, not just threats. So,
it's almost as bad as baseball bats.
Have you ever seen a woman use a rolling pin anymore? They'd have to be at least over 50.
There are machines to do that, you know.
But, so now, I mean, this is so brilliant because the way that it's omitted on every distinction, that therefore this Kal Vachomer doesn't really work. Says the Gemara, but wait, it does work. Because kalim that would be makabel tuma, but which could never be an avatuma, would prove the point. And it happens to be that the din of being able to be an avatuma is linked to the story of how to be mitzaher from an avatuma. Now you mitzaher from, if you touched as a kli an avi avotatuma, that would allow you to be an avatuma. But only if the din of Hizah, HaTahora, LaTameh, etc. from the Paraduma, and then the fact that afterwards, Yavo B'mayim, V'Tameh Ad HaAreph, correct? Problem is, There ain't no such concept when it comes to a klicheres. Klicheres cannot be put into a mikvah, would have any impact on them. Which means that therefore they are not capable of carrying the tuma of an avatuma. So klicheres yochiach, a klicheres cannot be an avatuma.
But it's still called an avatuma in terms of the qualitative level that
it's no. No, it can't carry an avatuma. Even if it came in contact with a mate. And that, by the way, is part of that same halacha. There is no way that a kli cheres mitocho could be metame anything but foodstuffs. Why? Who's to say it wasn't a kli cheres that came in touch with a dead body? Because it still wouldn't be an avatuma. That's the point.
It would be a rishon.
It would only be a rishon. So it can't. You can't make. It's like a foodstuff itself. You can't make it enough. So there you go. Now we have a case where it's a tful yom. Fine. So it would be the equivalent of kli cheres, and kli cheres cannot carry that type of tumah. So fine, I won't use normal kalim. And kli cheres does not have an avatuma, even bimino. Nonetheless, it's betame truma as a rishon. And obviously, pasul, it literally is betame it. So then the kikar sheni is no different. Even though the kikar sheni does not have an avatuma, it can still pasul. You can't ask a question because I can prove that you're wrong from the din of a kli cheres. Oh, says the Gemara, but come on. I mean, a kli cheres has a tremendous chumrah. A kli cheres has this new weird idea that anything inside of it is considered to be in laser contact with the actual kli. I mean, where do you ever see such a thing? So that's a very big chumra. You can't use a kli cheres to prove anything. Yeah, you're right. It's a very big chumra. Okay, but let's forget about the kli cheres now. Is the same halacha true about the normal tful yom of a regular kli? Yes. Can it be matame me'aviro? No. Yeah, but you just said, but that doesn't prove anything because that can be an avatuma. Fine, but a kli cheres can't be an avatuma. Let's put the two together. What's the common denominator of the kli cheres, which can be matame me'aviro? Yes, true. And the regular kli, which cannot be matame me'aviro, but which can be an avatuma. Okay, the common denominator is that they pasul truma, for God's sake. So can I use that as a makor for kal vachomer? Yes. Because all I'll say is, don't tell me it has to do with the fact that it's so chomer it can be an avatuma. Kli cheres doesn't have to be, can't be an avatuma. And you'll say, yeah, but what about that? Don't tell me it has something to do with the laser zapping. A regular kli can't have a laser zapping. So we'll just ignore those issues, which is what we usually do with what's called the limud of a matzad. We cancel out the equation, and we're left with the central values. And the central values is that these things that can be a sheni will make a shlishi betruma. That's all. And that's what we want to prove. In which case, a kikar, which can neither have a laser zapper or can it carry the chumrah of an avatuma, that's irrelevant. And it too will be able to pasul a shlishi from a kav chomer. Beautiful. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's limud. And he says, lo rizekri zeh, velo rizekri zeh. What's the tzara shava shabam? Tzara shava is that you've got things that do not affect kulin, and yet they pasul truma. Therefore, I'm saying, and it's a kavachomer, a kikar sheni, which does pasul bechulin, it is certainly going to pasul truma. Now, that is a very impressive kavachomer, says the Gemara. So what would the dor acher that you say, there will come a time when some stupid generation will deny my kavachomer? What would they say, this dor acher? Ah, the Dor Acher, they would be parik like this. There is a Tzad HaShava Shebehem. The Tzad HaShava Shebehem is the fact that each of them has a Tzad Chamur, which on the surface sounds insane. That's the meaning of a Tzad HaShava, is that we've canceled out the Tzad Chamur, right? So how stupid can that Dor Acharon be? They couldn't possibly have missed the whole point of a common denominator. They can't even do fractions? Really got to be. Well, maybe Americans, it's possible they can't do fractions. But somebody's got to be around that knows how to do that, right? that will find the lowest common denominator. So this is a big problem.
Google.
Sat Chamur. Sat Chamur, as we've had many times, can only be asked where there is something very strange about the concept of the Chumrah. Now, it's true that the part about the laser zapper is very strange. It's not found anywhere. But what is strange about the fact that the Tfuyom can be an Av Hatuma? So this, the Rosh here asks, the Tosa Rosh here asks, how does this fit with any stretch of the imagination, your inability to cancel out the equation? Because both tzadim are tzad chamur. There's nothing unusual about being an Av HaTumah. Ah, says the Rosh. The point over here is that the Dor Acharon will view the fact of the Tumah of the Tfuyom as being a new Tumah, called the Tumah of the Tfuyom. Remember that we're used to thinking like this. We started off with an Av HaTumah. It remains an Av HaTumah till such time as it's taught, right? And therefore, what we have right now is an attenuated Av HaTumah, since he's gone to the Bikvah. However, the truth is that since nothing else needs to be done, and this Tumah simply dissipates at sunset, and sunset is not in and of itself a modality of becoming Tahar, so something is very strange. Therefore, the correct way of looking at a Tfuyom is perhaps like this. The Tfila actually took off the Tumah, and now the Torah has assigned you a new halacha of Tumah until sunset. But if that's the case, who ever heard of such a thing? Of something that is Tameh, despite the fact that it didn't touch anything Tameh, it didn't do anything that's been Tameh. Where do we ever hear of such a thing that Tumah just appears, right?
Not only Tameh, but Av Tumah.
No, the Av part it had. That's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that the Tefillah didn't work because the Torah put on something else. It was like Tavu B'Sheretz B'Yado or something weird. I don't know, right? So therefore, both sides have a very unusual concept associated with them. And where there's an unusual concept, then they don't cancel out the equation. Now, obviously, I mean, we understand why Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai wouldn't be particularly impressed with that argument, but it does have a certain hint of postmodern sophistication, in which case the Dor HaAcharon might be able to come up with tainas about the Kal Vachomer.
So how we done?
Little did he know about Rabbi Akiva. That's the important Nakuda. Yeah. I wouldn't say that because I just saw an article yesterday in Ynet of a Dor HaAcharon that came to determine that the thing that is preventing people from keeping Hilchos Nina is this crazy chumrah of the Zava Gedola jazz, and therefore we should cancel it. And then everybody would be keeping the dinim of Nina, coupled, of course, with this new company that builds you a mikveh in your own home for a very little amount of money. Nice. And all you do in every office building just has a little place on the floor. They push a button, up it goes, and you go to the mikveh in the privacy of your own office. Now, the reason nobody does this is it's ridiculous. It's too inconvenient. What about all of these? The question is, did he have to be Megala that he has an interest in this company or not? That, I don't know. We'll have to talk to Benson about that one. But anyway, so the Dor HaAcharon definitely does come up with new ideas. Anyways. Why do people stay late in the office, Richard? What the heck is with you? Such naivety. They figure they can increase the output of any office by doubling if they put in a mikveh. Brilliant. The whole B'nai Brak is going for this.
Let's not dismiss this idea.
Fine. Okay, so what about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he doesn't get into this tzat chomer of this type. That low parich, he doesn't hold that we don't cancel the equation. All right, it's pretty late. Only if you guys are willing to continue will I torture you further. This was definitely a most special kind of daf. Maybe it was a tzat chomer, at least according to the Dor HaAchron, it was a tzat chomer. So everybody who wants to stay can raise their hands and say, oh, please, please, couldn't we? Oh, there we go, there we go.
Done very well. It was explained pretty
good. Yeah. Look at that. Benson is dying.
How much more are we talking?
10 minutes? No, no, listen. Pretend you opened up that mikveh in the floor. Now you're a brand new Kohen. The all that's left is the Av, but everything else is a Kiddush HaKroh.
He's powerless without his plastic bag.
We can even give you some plastic to scrunch and munch if you like. All right, let's do a little bit more, okay? Now, we have another brilliant limud here. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, look, we need to take this one step further, okay? We've now established that a kikar sheni is osa a shlishi. But once we know that, I want to be able to prove to you that there is such a thing as a revi, at least when it comes to Kodesh. And I'll prove it also from a Kal Vachomer. So until now, we've worked out that there's such a thing as a shlishi for Truma, such a thing as a sheni for Chulin, which we know from the Pasuk. I'm going to prove that there's also a revi b'Kodesh. And that revi b'kodesh, albeit it's not tumei, remember the meaning of tumei is that it's a carrier of tumah to make something else tumei. It's not tumei, but it's affected by tumah to become itself posel. That's called a reposel. Okay, so the revi is posel. Because look at the following Kal Vachomer. Dinu. A mechuser kippurim. You started with the tfu yom, right? Okay, the tfu yom, your Kal Vachomer was active vis-a-vis Truma, because Tfu Yom has a din of Truma. A Mechuser Kippurim, however, which is stage 3 in Taira, Tvila, Erev Shemesh, and then bringing the Korban. Okay, so this guy has already passed his first two stages. Now, he can't have any impact on Truma. He's allowed to eat Truma from the night before. It's now the next morning, he still hasn't brought his Korban. And what's the halacha? He's mutter betruma, correct? But such a person, by definition, is posel when it comes to kodesh. I mean, that's the whole point, is that such a person is not able to come into touch with kodesh, and that we learned back in Yevamos. And the same way that the tefu yom's got to stay away from truma, the mechuser kippurim has to stay away from Kodesh, okay. The Shlishi, we know, is posel already for Truma, in exactly the same way that we knew that the Kikar Sheni is Tamei by Kulin. You just proved that. You just proved that a Shlishi is posel for Truma, right? From your Kal Vachomer. And Rabbi Akiva proved it for the Pasuk, even better. So if that's the case, if a shlishi was responsible for truma, then for sure it's going to make a revi b'kodesh. It's exactly the same Kal Vachomer that you made, except one step down. You made from a tfu yomas usur b'truma that the kikar sheni can make a shlishi b'truma. I'm proving from the fact that a mechuser kippurim, which is the equivalent of a tfu yom for kodesh, so kol shekein something which is a shlishi, which we already know from Truma, can passel a revi b'kodesh. Ha ha! And therefore, lamadnu l'shlishi l'kodesh minat Torah. So we know the fact that the person can make kodesh passel. We know from the fact that a mechuser kippurim, if he touches it, he's not allowed to come near kodesh. Okay. So then, a shlishi l'kodesh we know already midioraita. And a revi we've just proven from a Kal Vachomer. How do we know a shlishi l'kodesh b'natara? I'll tell you very simply. you'll say, who's to say that there's a Shlishi B'Kodesh? Maybe it's only a Basel B'Kodesh. Well, because here's the deal. It says in the Torah, HaBasar Asher Yiga B'Chol Tamei Lo Ye'achel. Any meat of a Shlomi, which touches anything at all, which is called Tamei, cannot be eaten. Now, what did this meat touch? Anything called Tamei. Is a Kikar Sheni identified as Tamei in the Torah? Yes or no? Well, of course. We just had that. Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma. And that can only be referring to a Sheni. This Pasuk says, and anything identified in any other Pasuk as Tamei, then the halacha is, if Basar touches it of Kodesh, then Lo Yechel. Okay, so Milo Askina, that would obviously include the case of Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma that came into touch with the Basar of the Shlomim. I'm just working through. That's all I'm doing, says Rabbi Yossi. I'm just working through all of the data that we have until now. We've spoken about this Basar. We've spoken about the Tuma of a Tvul Yom. We've spoken about the stages of Taira. What I'm doing is I'm taking what you said and I'm saying, look, let's go till the bottom line. The bottom line is that what we derive from here is not simply a din of a Shlishi. We actually derive the din of a Ravi. So Milo Askin and Anoga B'Sheni, and nonetheless, says the Torah, Lo Ye'achel, therefore, we now know a Ravi from exactly the Kal V'Chomer that I just mentioned. Kiri Amran. Okay, so now we have gotten to our deepest level of available Tuma from the data that we've been given with all of the possible implications through the Kal V'Chomers. Okay, tomorrow we will look at this last piece again and see that it's actually dependent in a machlokas tanoim and a brayta, which is coming up. Chavtet. V'Rebbe Yishmael, how does he come off? We might yitzich kol truma, learning then kuna b'kav v'chomer. Dilmak yitzich, the pasuk itself was l'kuna, in which case the truma is mutter. Amalakom is stavra, because look, the first two v'nitmaz were dumira balu boil, right? The balu and boil are both mechaim, it's immediate impact. Af truma nami mechaim, la fuke kuhuna, which by definition could only be after the guy drops dead. So it's only le'achar mita. Rabbi Akiva, no, dumira balu boil, not much of an argument, literally. And you know what? Inami itle, so what? Miltadati bekava chomer. Torah v'katav lakra. Omrev gidol amarat. There's another piece that you forget, and that is that a dabar sheish bo dat lishael, or ein bo dat lishael, is actually dependent on the following pasuk. Mi'aykra nafka. V'habasara sheyiga v'chol tamei lo yachel. Which means, only asher yiga, which is v'alei. V'alei tamer de lo yachel. Ha-safek tamei safek tahar ken yachel, because of chazoka. Ema seifa, v'habasar kol tahor, meaning yochal basar, only if it definitely is tahor. Who the yochal basar? Safek tahor, safek tamei safek tahor. Lo yochal basar. Now go explain that. El alav shmamina, kanche yeshbo da'at lishael, kanche einbo da'at lishael. Now the truth is, yitzchak tov gidol amarav, from the Habasar, and Itzach Lemigmar Misota too, because Imin Arav, Avamina Ben Rishodechid Ben Rishod Rabim, which is nowhere indicated in this Pasuk of the Basar, and therefore Itzach Lemigmar Misota. If we only knew Sota, then Avamina the Eat by Dat Lishael is on both ends over here, because Ika Dat Nogea Umagia. Therefore, we need the contrast of the piece of meat to the eater of the meat to distinguish that the dat lishael is one end only. Bo bayom darash Rabbi Akiva v'kol klicheres yitma tamei lo nemar ele yitma lamadnu lekikar shlishi shetamei min haTorah mi'achad de'ein lo, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, lama tamei amar Rav Yonah amar Rav. All he meant to say was min haTorah ein lo, but midin kavachomer yesh lo, namely. Well, I mean, Okay, so teti mitvoyom the sheretz. So I could still say mal tvoyom shekeh b'sheretz ke at least b'mino avatuma. Okay, so klicheres yochiach where there's no such thing as b'mino avatuma. Ah, but malak klicheres shekeh matami miavira. All right, so tvoyom yochiach v'chazar adin lo rizek rizeh atzada shaveshem. Shemutarim bechulin uposim bechuma kol sheken kikasheni, which is pasul bechulin, it certainly will be pasul bechuma. And what will the dor acher have to say about that? They will be parich mala tzad hashavish ben sheken yesh bem tzad chamur. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tzad chamur lo parich. Tanya omer Rabbi Yossi, I want to take this one step further. Binayin l'revi bekodesh pasul v'dinu. Mam bechusar kipurim shemutar b'truma pasul bekodesh shlishi shepasul b'truma inodin shiyas revi bekodesh. And therefore, bottom line, gentlemen, we've learned shlishi lekodesh ben Torah, and we've learned revi from a kal v'chomer. We've learned shlishi lekodesh ben Torah min olam dichtiv. Obviously, it says abosar shiiga b'chol tamei lo yachel, and the kika sheni you just proved is called kol tamei. And therefore the Revi is a Kal V'Chomer, as I just showed to you very clearly.